Well, good morning, everybody. And can I just say how amazing it is to stand here and see so many smiley faces of friends. If you don't know who I am, my name is Pete, and I am an ordinand in the Church of England. If you don't know what an ordinand is, other than a trainee vicar, then you're in very good company, because if I'm honest, I haven't the foggiest at the moment either. One of the things that I do know is that as an ordinand in the Church of England, I have the huge privilege of being able to stand here and talk to you. And although I have done this in other churches and at other services, this is my first time at our 10 o'clock service. So please do be kind. Being relatively new to this, people are often very keen to come up and give me tips and advice on what I should be saying or how I should be saying it. And one of the pieces of advice that sticks with me is that every sermon needs a really great start, and that every sermon needs a really great finish. But the most important thing of all is that those two things need to be as close together as possible. So you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to talk for long this morning, but what I was thinking about this great start, is about how your time started here as you came in this morning. As you came in through those big doors at the end of our church and were greeted so warmly and welcomingly by David and Lisa. And I thought that is a great place to start. Those big doors are purposely large and welcoming because they're meant to be inviting. And they often make me think about barn doors. And as we head down into our countdown to Christmas, I think about Jesus being born in that stable. Perhaps that stable too would have had wooden doors on it. And after Jesus and Mary and Joseph had seen all of the visitors and received all the gifts that we're going to sing and talk about as we head down to Christmas, presumably one of them would have picked him up and carried him out into the world through those doors. That world, of course, that we know he's going to go on to save. So as you came in through those great wooden doors, you will have seen our fantastic concrete font. That font was used in St. Albans Abbey some time up until 1934, after which it was found in pieces in a builder's yard when the Abbey decided to upgrade to a funky new Italian one. Perhaps you've seen some people being baptized in that font, or perhaps you've even been baptized in it yourself. In a few weeks' time, we're going to hear about John the Baptist and how he baptized Jesus. So as we come into the church and we see that font, we are reminded about his baptism and about our baptism, and about us joining the family of God. And I do think that's a great place to start. I recently learnt that a lot of Church of England and Anglican churches are laid out in the same way to be able to mirror the life of Jesus. So if you will indulge me, I would like to take you on a short tour through the church. So after his baptism, Jesus went on to call the first of his disciples, who we know that he went on to journey with over the years of his ministry. He would teach them, and in return, they would give him fellowship. And as I just look round the church this morning, I see many of you sat with people that maybe you are journeying with, or maybe that you have great fellowship with or learn from. And if you're new to St. Paul's, then maybe I might suggest you take a look round, because they may be the people that you're going to get to know, have some fellowship with, and learn from. Perhaps, like me, you are a creature of habit. Maybe you're sat in the same seats that you have done for the past few weeks or months or maybe even years. And if that's the case, then that's fine. You're again in great company, because I don't mind confessing that I actually have a preferred car parking space outside. And boy, do I get the hump if somebody's parked in it when I arrive. So as we move down the main body of the church, we come to this amazing lectern where we heard the word of God read this morning so fantastically by Pam. This Bible that's on it contains all the books of both the New and the Old Testament. And in Luke 4, we hear that Jesus himself read from the scriptures from the book of Isaiah. This Bible sits on the wings of this amazing eagle. And the Reverend Harold Webb says this: "The flying eagle is the symbol of John the Evangelist, who proclaimed that Christ was the Word of God at the beginning of his gospel. The flying eagle is thus a suitable emblem from which God's word is read, reaching, we hope, the ends of the earth." And if you've never spent much time looking at this lectern, I would really encourage you to come over and see what an amazing piece it is. I might also say, don't touch it too much, otherwise I'm going to get into big trouble with whoever does the amazing job of polishing it. A fun fact for you, if you ever go into a cathedral or a church, Norwich Cathedral, for example, and you see the bird pecking at its own breast, then it's not actually an eagle, it's actually a pelican. And if you want to know why, because useless trivia interests you, then do ask me after the service. So next on our tour of the church, it's the pulpit. I hadn't quite realized quite how weird it would be to look down at you all from up here and see your smiley faces. One thing I can see, though, is that nobody's fallen asleep, which I'm going to take as a really good sign. So we read in the Gospels that after his birth in the supposedly wooden stable, after his baptism, after he'd called his followers and spent time with them, after he had read scripture out loud, that he preached to the large crowds. I've only ever seen one other person preach from up here, but I'm told on good authority that many other people have. Jesus, of course, wouldn't have preached from such a grand structure, but for me, these pulpits, they just underline the importance of unpacking scripture and being led deeper into our relationship with God. This Sunday morning, we have no communion, but this altar is for many decades where ordained ministers have presided over communion. This act, of course, marks the momentous event of Jesus holding his Last Supper with his disciples. And when a priest stands here, they use the words, "Draw near in faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's me and that's you, that's us. We are all invited as part of our journey through the church that mirrors Jesus' journey. We are invited to move from our seats and draw near with faith to receive communion or a blessing. Then behind the altar, we have our cross, a visual reminder of the cross that Jesus was nailed to. And it's here at this point in our journey of the church that we have read about or heard in our gospel reading today. We are taken to that moment where Jesus is nailed to the cross. As I prepared for this sermon, I was absolutely sure that I was going to talk about how this passage is just absolutely about how Jesus loved the world. As we heard, despite the immense pain he must have been in, he's still praying for forgiveness for those persecuting him. And he's even lovingly reaching out to the newly converted criminal, giving him the reassurance of the promise of eternal life as a believer in Christ, and that he will be joining him that day in paradise. However, every time I read that passage, the first four words from verse 35 just kept haunting me. We read, whilst Jesus was nailed to the cross, that the people stood watching. The people stood watching. Now, we don't know who those people were. Perhaps some were at his birth. Perhaps some saw him baptized. Maybe some of them were his good friends that he had fellowship with. Perhaps some of them heard him read scripture out loud, or heard him preach, or even shared bread and wine with him at the table. But whoever they were, they just stood watching. And it really made me think that sometimes, whether I'm at church or at home or visiting friends, maybe sometimes all I do is stand watching. Maybe I just stand watching as others go thirsty or hungry or homeless or lonely. Maybe I just stand watching whilst others, like the soldiers did in our reading today, they mock God when all he is doing is saving. Maybe I just stand around watching whilst people like the other criminal on the cross so desperately need to know Jesus and to start a relationship with him. So lastly, our journey through the church and Jesus' life wouldn't be the same if we didn't look beyond the cross. By looking at Jesus' resurrection and how he is our living God. And for me, it's all in this stained glass window behind our cross. Here is Jesus, depicted as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. And the inscription underneath is, "Come unto me," which I think is really fitting given our journey through the church. The window itself is in remembrance of Rose Phillimore Swatman. And written on this plaque just underneath the window, it says this: "To the glory of God and in affectionate remembrance of Rose Phillimore Swatman, to whose inspiring efforts and wholehearted devotion to the work of God, the building of the first portion of this church is largely due." She certainly sounds like someone who did more than just stand by watching. So that first bit of advice I was given at the beginning of the sermon, I don't think it's all as strictly true anymore. Yes, absolutely, the start is immensely important, which in the example that we're having today is in our birth and baptism. And we finish all the way up here talking about Jesus' resurrection and our eternal life. It's absolutely what we should be doing. But what we shouldn't be doing is trying to make those two things as close together as possible. Let's engage in this middle bit as much as we can. Let's engage in fellowship with each other. Let's listen to scripture and stand up for it when it needs it. Let's unpack the word of God together and tell others about it. Let's remember Jesus at his Last Supper and our promise of eternal life after death through him. Let's engage in all of this and make church much more than just about Sundays. As an alternative to all of this, is just us being the people that stood watching. Amen.